Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
I'm Dave Detman, also known as Dr. Gadget. I've got a new podcast called The Big Idea. And every week, I talk to inventors and visionaries who made it big in their respective industries. We'll tackle weekly trending tech, provide inside tips for your success, and go deep dives on the latest and greatest innovations. And I know you're going to love this part. I'll also have plenty of free giveaways. Who doesn't love free stuff? So listen to and follow The Big Idea with me, Dr. Gadget, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. On this episode, we're going to talk about Ray Evraham selling off some of his car collection, Ford Lightning, a little review on that, Chief Donut Maker from Dodge. And before we get started, here's our friends at Geico. Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Hello, buddy. How are you?
Really don't know. I don't know. They're back working on the garage, so I'm up at 6 taking Gage to school anyway, but I'm out on the work site at like 7 in the morning, so everything's great, man. You know, just another week in Texas.
You know, dodging week in
the
Texas.
Wind and dodging the rain.
Recently, I've a couple of us have been out to Texas for work related things, and always when it's like so like in and out kind of work related stuff, it's tough to connect. So I went out for the PFL event, Professional Fighters League, and it's an MMA program that you and I are big fans of. They're doing well, been around about 4 years. I think they're the second largest behind UFC. And if you're an MMA fan, give it a shot. I think you guys are going to like the structure, and the fighters are great. And for us, it's something that we took Bravago, our hard seltzer drink, and became a sponsor of. And they did a very good integration of all the brand. And it was good to go see the event live and talk to everybody. And Bill, your friend Ray Sefo, who's a legend in the fighting community, is there. He's a boss now. He's in a suit. He's wearing a suit.
I bet he looked uncomfortable, not just physically, but yeah. Hey, once you get out of the fighting world, no matter what sport, it's different transitioning and being a suit now. I can only imagine how uncomfortable.
He definitely looked a little out of place, just kind of like a big smile on his face and looking at everything and kind of walking around and with the CEO of the company and just kind of taking it all in, going, this is kind of a different role for me. I'm outside the cage looking in, and you can see, of course, his genuine concern for putting on a good show and the health of his fighters and everything. But yeah, he's not the one in the ring in the cage doing it. So it was
He'd be much more comfortable doing the in-rings.
I'm sure he would. So I found him, and he's like, let's get a picture. He goes, let's do it in the ring. And I was like, all right, so let's do it. Let's do it in there. So he just wanted to get back in there. So it was a great event, and the Bravago stuff went very well, and we will have that available very soon, hopefully by the end of this month. Available online for purchase. And then I just saw that Alistair Weaver, we got to have him back in pretty soon. He was in Texas for a media driving event for the Ford Lightning, the new truck. And I texted him, and he told me where he was. And I was like, you know, you're probably 3 miles from Bill's house, maybe 5 miles from Bill's house. And he's like, oh, I didn't know exactly where he was. And When I texted him, he was already getting on a plane to come home. And I was like, well, you could have maybe swung by to see what's going on. But I don't have any information from him other than I said, I saw you were in Texas. You were super close to Bill. Sorry I didn't know earlier. Next time you should reach out. And he's like, yeah, super bummed. And I go, I saw you drove the Lightning. How is it? Is it sort of what we expect? And he just wrote back, it's good. It's very good. So whatever that means to him, I don't know if he means off-road capability or just as an electric vehicle or whatever, he seems to be good. And I'm sure he's going to come to us with driving impressions and all kinds of specs and all the good stuff in regards to that. So we'll be looking forward to that. In the meantime, I'm going in an opposite direction. And our friends at Hennessy sent me a vehicle just recently. I just got it like a day ago. They sent me a vehicle to test. Now, I know you have the Ram TRX, and I drove the TRX Mammoth, the close to 1,000 horsepower version of their vehicle. And it's big, and it's over the top, and it's fun as shit. And as you've learned with the tunes on these vehicles, it really doesn't do a lot in the normal tune. But when you put it in sport, it does kick in that tune and really make it kind of fun. So they were like, put it in sport mode and then go back and turn the traction control on so you don't lose your shit and enjoy the Mammoth, which was we had a few months ago. So they sent me the 2022 Hennessy Velociraptor 600. So this is the Raptor version of what they were kind of doing. They did a few modifications to the suspension as well, right? They did, you know, their front bumper and the light bar and the rear bumper. Hennessy has their wheels on it. I think this one has the 35-inch tires. And it's got a 3-inch lift and a leveling kit. And it's big. My parking garages are 7 foot, and I'm probably at like 6'9", 6'10" with it. Like, I rolled it into the garage and then like poked my head out the sunroof there, out the moonroof. And I'm like, I guess if I don't fly through the garage and have that suspension kind of expand a little bit, I would hit all the roof of the garage, but it just fits under the 7 foot garage. There's a few garages in LA for sure that are like 6'8". I don't think you're going to fit. You're not going to fit. So this was at least 6'10". They made a few modifications to the power plant. Now, they didn't do a turbo upgrade. So just to give you an idea of what you can do to the vehicle, they did a high flow induction system. They did a larger intercooler upgrade, the big air-to-air intercooler. They definitely gave it a good tune and basically put it on the dyno as part of that tune and that calibration. So induction, exhaust, upgraded intercooler, and a tune. And they got 558 horsepower. Now, these are 450 rated, so 100 horsepower. I assume they mean at the crank, not at the tire. So they get about 100 horsepower, 108 in this example, with intercooler upgrades and a tune. Now, to be fair, Hennessy's out of Texas, and I'm pretty sure that's a 93-octane tune. So when they brought it here to California and we have 91, it's probably down a little bit. I have no idea, but I you're probably safe to say you've got somewhere between 75 and 80 horsepower above stock on a 91 octane tune. And look, if you want to throw
the price?
So the price for the vehicle is, it says 115, including donor Raptor. I find that a little high, but I guess.
Including the donor. So you provide the vehicle and it's 115 on top of that.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's
can we skip to the next segment so that I don't throw up on camera here?
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta figure out that price, because on the paperwork they said including donor Raptor. I think they mean 115 all in. That's what it is. It's the sticker price of a Raptor. And I think they're saying 115, approximately 115, includes the Raptor, right? So I'm guessing, because I don't know how they'd spend $115,000 doing this. But that all being said, it is factory installed, dyno tested. They deliver it to you with the warranty. You get a 3 years, 36,000 mile warranty, and their performance testing, because they have their airfield, their drag strip and course right there at Hennessy, which is cool. They did a 0-60 in 4.2 seconds and ran 12.90s in the quarter mile. So listen, four low fours is quick. I've been driving it around. It's fun. It feels quick. I don't recall what they did with their Mammoth, but I think it was into the mid to high threes with the Mammoth. So, and I know you guys have been working on the Goldberg's Garage power packages, a little bit different configuration here, right? They do the bumpers, they do the wheels, they do the thing. You guys are working on engine packages.
We do that. We have the ability to do that now, but that's not, you know, what Gearhead's concentrating on. The aesthetics are one thing. The aesthetics are stuff that just about anybody can order and get purchased or get mounted on their own.
Yeah.
It's the internal, you know, the big deal, obviously. And I'm real curious to see, like, what's the base price of the Raptor? Like 72 or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's so confusing these days.
Yeah,
because you never see anything for
69.5.
Yeah, that sounds about.
So that, you know, it's interesting. You know, we do a fuel change, injectors, depending upon the package, you know, other accoutrements that we slap on there, but not to mention the tune, but power's around the same.
About the same? Yeah. Okay.
The prices. Yeah.
So the Raptors are, looks like the Raptors are around 65 grand, you know, the press ones that are rolling around got a few options and things like that. I think they're coming in around 78,000. You know, and we can see what Ford has in store for a Raptor R in the future. I know there's been information leaked about patents and stuff, and it has their version of a crab walk or sort of a four-wheel steer and a couple things like that that is going to come out. You know, we could skip over the part where you're like, well, good luck, everyone's on the list, and who knows what the markups are going to be and how many they're going to make. But that all being said, it is kind of fun to see Ram and Ford continue to battle it out with these big badass trucks that are really fun to drive. You know, let's do it for as long as we can until somebody tells us we can't do it anymore.
100%. 100%. I mean, that benefits guys like us. There's no question about it. But Lee, but let's talk about that war. So I hear a little birdie told me that SEMA's configuration manufacturer-wise may look a bit different this coming November.
Yes. So what's happening is Ford and Honda have both dropped out of the SEMA show this year. And to clarify, Ford said, we're not having our booth, which has been a staple for a long time, and they have a big footprint. I guess that means they're not having, like, the Ford out front area, unless the Ford out front area will be manned by a different organization on behalf of Ford, like a Roush or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So I can't really say for sure. Now, Ford has said, we will have a presence at the SEMA show. I guess they're still going to do their build vehicles and their dollar cars and team up with their partners, but all of these cars will be in other companies' booths or, yeah, just, you know, like stuff you and I have done with Magnaflow and Anderson Composites and things like that. But, you know, just you have a car in their booth and they show off everybody's parts and customization. So Ford will have a presence, but no Ford booth. I don't know exactly what that means with the landscape, like how, you know, because they take that big, long area. They take the floating conference room up above, the big Ford out front area as well. And they kind of have like that overwatch area, like, you know, because they're a little bit higher up, so you can stand there and get a good photo of the rest of that hall, the central hall, I guess. VW, though, has said they are coming back as a manufacturer for the first time in a few years. I don't recall. Maybe it was 2019, the last time they were officially there. So Ford is out. Honda is out with an official booth. VW is in with a booth. I don't think they're going to get the Ford booth. That's probably way bigger than what they need. And I don't know who's going to take that over or what. But I don't know. What is your feeling on this? Do you think this is just the result of you know, we've got supply chain issues. We've got lower sales across the board with all the car manufacturers and, you know, spending money on something like this. As an enthusiast, we love it. We'd love to see what's going on.
Or do they feel it's something that they don't need to do anymore because of the change to electrification?
Well, I mean, I guess, but last year at the SEMA show, they had Ford Lightning there. They had the they had the drag race car, the Cobra Jet with the all electric motor in it, and they debuted the electric crate motors, the Illuminator, I think it is. So there was a bit of an effort to attract that audience. They had a couple of Mustang Mach-E's in the booth that were modified. Shelby debuted their version, which was a concept. I'm not sure if they're making it or not. So I don't know if the move toward EV was a big factor. I would think the financials and the perception of spending that kind of money publicly right now, you know, with the losses that everybody is taking and stock prices dropping a little bit. And also a lot of these companies, Ford as well, just did some layoffs. And to be fair, you always have to be very sensitive as a corporation when you do that stuff. I forgot what the number was, 300 people or something like that. But if you lay off 300 people and then you go spend, I don't know, $1 million, $2 million, could be $500,000, but it's probably a couple $1 million on a booth at a trade show, it definitely gives the wrong impression. So I think
that's life.
Yeah.
Right? Don't you have to spend money? Make money. So marketing wise, I think it's a terrific opportunity to get themselves out.
Look, and the truth is
I understand. You still have to live on.
Yeah. You know, and one probably has nothing to do with the other. You know, one is a different division and different money and different whatever. And it just all comes down to the public perception of things. So I guess I get it. And they didn't necessarily say, both Honda and Ford, if this was a permanent move. You know, whatever the SEMA rules are, you're allowed to take a year off and not display at the SEMA show and not really lose your place in line and of seniority and booth selection. So, you know, maybe they're going to come back next year with a whole bunch of new stuff. But anyway. Yeah, that being said, a little bit different SEMA show this year, but I'm still looking forward. I always like the event. I apologize for it. We've got some sound quality issues, I think internet connection issues. all of this is going to be resolved when Goldberg moves into his garage and builds himself a podcast studio.
Has nothing to do with me. It's all you guys.
Oh, is it though? Maybe.
No.
I don't know. I don't know.
I've got one more.
I wanted to ask you about the finale of the Chief Donut Maker. So the episodes, there's three episodes up on Dodge Garage. You guys picked a winner. I was watching it. It looks fun. You got some charismatic people in there. Everybody did a great job. Your interrogations were funny when they put you in your little shirt and little tie with the no sleeves on it, and all just taken lightheartedly, which I thought was kind of the fun. I mean, considering what the job that these people are applying for, it's got to be fun. And I could tell that you had fun doing it because I can always see, like, and look, we could talk about it here, but there's Goldberg, there's you that I know, right? We talk all the time. And then there's Goldberg, the character, which is what, you know, companies a lot of times hire, right? You know, the big voice and the, you know, the tough guy. But when they hire that guy and then you're doing shit, you're kind of laughing and you're trying to like hide the little grin. It's funny as shit. It really is. It's fun. So anyway, watch the stuff. It's good. But that being said, how did it end up going? You guys picked a winner. You guys like the guy. However it panned out, right?
It went great, man. You know, it was a very short shoot out in Scottsdale, 3 days. We shoved a lot of content into 3 days, no question about it, just for three 10-minute webisodes. Over 170,000 people entered this thing. And at the end of the day, it's extremely difficult to find one person that's that much better than everybody else and that truly represents your product. The fact is, they weren't looking for the best driver. They weren't looking for the person who can spit out the most details about Mopar. They were looking for somebody passionate. They were looking for somebody who was being themselves and not bringing a different character, you know, to the interrogations and to the final 10. Quite obviously, everybody could drive to a certain extent, but it's a combination of driving ability, passion, and the ability to string two sentences together with a microphone in front of your face in front of hundreds of thousands of people. That's really, I'm not going to say the determining factor, because every area had a certain amount of weight. But if you get up there, no matter how good you are performing, and can't perform with a microphone in your hand, and you can't, you know, relay or eloquate your feelings about the brand, then you might as well not even be able to drive a stick. So it's a toss up finding that perfect combination, because there is nothing, there's no such thing as perfect, right? But you try to find the best representative humanly possible to represent what you put forth. And I think at the end of the day, we did that. You know, there's a little bit of controversy out there. There's a lot of people, 172,099 people probably, that are pissed off that they didn't get chosen. But the fact is, only one can win. And we chose the best of the group. And I can't, you know, we had the press conference last week. A couple things came up. Water under the bridge. But, you know, for the most part, I think he's going to be a fantastic representative for the brand. And the, you know, keep your fingers crossed, because we're looking to do 2023 Donut Maker here very soon. So it was a very big success. And hopefully we can turn it into a TV show this time.
Okay. So Preston was the winner. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina. And good luck to him. I think you guys, I think he's going to have a fun time doing this. And I imagine there's going to be continuing content at DodgeGarage.com following Preston as chief donut maker, right? He's going to have to go out there and create some content and go to some fun events. And like you said, you got to represent. You got to represent the brand. Now he's an official paid brand ambassador. And like you said, a lot of people were vying for the job. So good luck. Good luck, Preston. I think it's going to be a fun gig. By the way, that's a really nice.
Hey, how could you? That's quite the understatement as far as describing it. It's one of the most bitching gigs out there. I mean, it truly is. I mean, you get the use of a Hellcat for a year, you get 150 grand, and oh, you have to show up at events and do interviews and burn some rubber. Boy, that sounds like a pain in the ass.
And it's a part-time gig.
It's an unbelievable event.
You get to do all that exactly. And get paid well for a part-time gig. You know, that's a nice 150 grand. Yeah, I'm gonna.
Well, that it puts you out there. You're an automatic influencer, and you can be subject to companies reaching out and wanting him to represent something that they do. So, I mean, it gives him a great opportunity. The fact is, the guy, like a lot of people, came from nothing. He worked his way up in life, and he never gave. He never said no, and he never gave up. And it's a success story in a nutshell. So. We can't satiate and please everybody, but I think it was a terrific choice and he's going to do very well.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, congratulations to Preston. You guys can go to dodgegarage.com and see those episodes and follow along. Shifting gears a little bit here, Ray Everham. Ray Everham is a friend of the show. He's been on here. He's been on Shift and Steer. He's a great charismatic guy to talk to. He's a great interview, by the way. He's a great storyteller, great interview. He's got himself a Hall of Famer, NASCAR Hall of Famer. He's got himself a little car collection that he needs to thin out.
A little.
Yeah. He's got himself a little car collection that he needs to thin out. So he's got a handful of cars going over to Mecum Indy. It's going to be coming up.
Yes.
Yeah, coming up pretty soon. So Mecum Indy, it takes place between May 13th and the 21st. I believe all of his cars will be offered with no reserve. So if you are interested, all of the cars that he's selling, by the way, he's not doing this thing where I'm selling all my shit and I'm going to start collecting bass fish boats or, he's not doing that. He's just thinning out the herd so he can get some more space, work on some new projects. He's just constantly just moving forward. So that being said, he's got a very cool car. He's got an older Indy car. It's a 1964 Brabham. It's the championship car that Mario Andretti won. Back-to-back championships in 65 and 66. That car is going to be for sale. It's got a 4.2 liter V8, a very cool championship car. He's also got a handful of his NASCAR racers. He's got a 72 Chevy Monte Carlo, a 74 Mercury Montego, a 74 Dodge Charger, and a 2001 Dodge Intrepid. Those will all be up for sale as well. I want to say the Daytona. I think the 75. I think the Mercury. Maybe it was that took first place in the Daytona 300 Monte Carlo. But he's got a couple of hot rods and stuff as well. He's got. He's got a 1940 Ford Coupe. He's got a 52 Dodge Power Wagon. I like the Power Wagons. Those are kind of cool.
Don't look at me like that.
He's got a 79 Jeep.
I've already been raised. I can't touch it.
All right. I'm just saying. Power Wagon's pretty cool. A 69 Dodge Hemi Daytona NASCAR. Which is cool, and a 2016 Porsche Cayman GT4. Anyway, he's got a he's got some pretty cool stuff. Hopefully he does well. I'm excited to see what he moves on to next. But if you want a little piece of history, you can go and follow those guys. There's been the internet's been buzzing about a couple of people and their automotive antics recently. Certainly, there's no shortage.
Another one.
There's no shortage of antics happening between, you know, Instagrammers and YouTubers and a lot of people doing silly stuff just for the sake of doing it for video. And I don't know. Apparently, it's profitable for some people. Somebody took out a Ford Raptor. This is the 2021 Raptor, and you know, it's a great truck. It's great off-road capability. And he's like, I'm going to jump it. And he set up this jump and he got to maybe 60 miles an hour, maybe a little bit more than that. Took off, landed, which looked like perfect landing on all four tires. Absolutely nothing happened to the truck. The truck took it like a beast. The driver, on the other hand, broke his vertebrae in three places. This is so bad. I'm laughing at it now because, one, it was dumb, and two, he's fine after some work but and some doctors. But I don't know, guys. Do we need to do stupid shit all the time for the sake of putting video out there? This was on Instagram, by the way. I don't know if he was just doing this for fun or he's got a money-making Instagram account, but you could see the video. I don't know. It's here. I'm looking at it. Jumps, lands. You know, from that camera angle, it doesn't look that bad. But here's the thing. Apparently, he's not the first one to do this. Somebody else did a very similar jump at about 60 miles an hour, and that guy also broke his back. So let's not do that. Let's avoid that at home. So I don't know if you guys heard about that one, but certainly
try to find a better way to get some views. That's awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Something a little less painful, maybe a little less expensive on your body and your healthcare. Speaking of expensive, this is the one
I saw. I saw it yesterday.
So when I saw this, I was like, oh man, I felt bad for this guy. This is bad luck.
No way.
And then I started digging into some of the details and I was like,
karma,
I guess. But someone went recently to the Barrett Jackson auction in Palm Beach, bought themselves a really nice 2006 Ford GT, the Heritage Edition, the Gulf colors, paid $704,000. $704,000 for a Gulf GT Heritage car. And those are gone up in value. This is an cool as shit car. The Heritage Gulf colors are definitely what you want. Then last Friday, he decided to take it out for a little drive and smashed into a tree. He told police officers that he was unfamiliar with driving stick and said when he went to downshift, it got a little squirrely and he went off. He claims he wasn't speeding. He was going about 35 or so miles an hour. And maybe that's accurate. You're looking at the damage to the car. You know, this car is not torn in half. It's not folded in two. The driver is fine. He got out. He didn't even bring his cell phone or anything with him. I guess he was just taking a little drive. So he had to get out, walk back home, and grab his phone and then call the police and go, yeah, my car's smashed. Meanwhile, everyone's taking pictures outside of this car just abandoned, smashed up. But here's the thing is he said,
why cell phone when you don't have insurance or a current license?
Right. So here's the kicker, right? It was not registered. It was not insured. And he had a suspended license. So he absolutely knew better than to get into this car. This is where arrogance, mm-hmm. right? This is where arrogance basically takes over your common sense.
Logic.
Yes. Now he claims that his umbrella policy, insurance umbrella policy, should cover the car. I can't say for sure. I don't know anything about his umbrella policy. I can tell you from working with guys like Adam Carolla and all of his cars, that's not quite how it seems to work. If you drive the car, it's a little different. You know, look at even Adam Carolla's racing cars, right? When he's on the track in one of his vintage cars, something happens to the car, that's on him, right? His umbrella policy would cover if someone else got hurt, if a tire flew off his car and bounced into the audience and, God forbid, hit somebody, there's an insurance policy that helps that situation, but not if he damages the car while driving it on the track. However, his insurance policy does cover insurance on the car while it's being towed up to the track, mm-hmm. right? But once he's driving it, no, right? So maybe if this guy has his policy and his car is on display at home in his garage or his car collector's display or whatever, then yes, I would say it would be insured. But as soon as he takes it out, then probably not. Probably not.
Oh, well.
So unfortunately, and then his story changed a little bit about was he downshifting? Was he upshifting? And it's changed a little bit, which now is kind of telling me, you know, he got a little squirrely. He was getting a little aggressive with the car. I'm not saying he lied about doing 35 miles an hour. I'm saying how quickly did he go from zero to 35 miles an hour that he got a little squirrely and a little sideways. You know, that's the point. And look, I don't really feel that badly for him because he should have known better and he's not injured, right? I do feel bad for this really nice car I don't know. I think with values the way they are, I think the car can be repaired, but it's always going to have this gray cloud floating above this car. Whenever this car ever gets resold at auction or gets traded one day, it's always going to be known as the car that got wrecked in Florida. You know, so you can fix it to the best of your ability, but it's never really going to have the original parts. And for the rest of your life, you're going to be able to Google this car and see pictures of it wrecked. But anyway, sorry to say that.
Prominent.
Yeah. So we're down one really nice heritage GT car.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but those are two Ford drivers, right?
That was, yes, two Ford drivers. Two Ford drivers. And no Mustang was involved at all. There was no Mustangs involved at all. just a couple of Ford drivers. But yeah. Hey, look. I'm embarrassed as a Ford owner. As a Ford owner, I am embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for our people.
that's how the cookie crumbles. Next week, it'll be a Hellcat guy doing something illegal on a public road. Believe me.
So, I mean, look. I mean, when the TRX came out, we saw the guys jumping it in the desert or whatever over a river smashing the front and lawn darting it into the dirt and going, well, that's not how I thought it was going to handle. I was like, well, you didn't think so, but you and five of your friends were out there with cameras rolling so you could try to make a few bucks on YouTube. So I don't know. Listen, if you're going to do stupid shit in these cars, especially for the sake of video and you're out in the dirt like the Raptor guy, I mean, at least like kind of be responsible with your safety. Are you wearing, you know, a collar, a helmet, a back brace? Like any, if you're going to do stupid shit, at least prepare yourself, you know? You know,
that's the least you could do. Your own safety.
Or don't do stupid shit. Like that's another option.
That's the best one.
That's what I'm going for. Don't do stupid shit. Listen, like the day that Gage gets his license, you should go, listen, before we head to the DMV, there's five or six articles and YouTube videos I would like you to watch of people doing stupid shit, getting hurt and losing their vehicle in the process. So just a little heads up.
Yeah, we need to watch videos in the next 6 days because he'll be driving by himself on the 10th. So.
Oh, wow. There you go. So you don't have to get up at 6 in the morning to drive to school?
Oh, no. I'll be following his ass. He won't know I'm there. Are you kidding me?
I'll be up.
You bet your ass.
You're going to pop up on the screen in his car, the touch screen, and be like, this is not a normal feature, but boom. It's me. It's your dad. I'm here. What are you doing? Slow down.
Slow down.
Slow down. He's like, I can't see you, but I can feel you going fast.
I'm on your roof.
Yeah. I got a drone above you. You know, not to mention it's probably the only Bronco in that area. And so here's the funny thing is like, because you have it modified, now it's super identifiable, right? So anybody going, oh, I saw this guy. I don't know who it was. He was in a Bronco and he did donuts on a McDonald's parking lot. And it shows up on Instagram. You're gonna be like, well, that's my vehicle. I know because it's customized and it looks like my vehicle. Yeah. So as much as he likes the cool mods that you guys have been working on together and will enjoy them, he got to understand it's like putting a giant tattoo on the side of that thing. So now everybody knows it's yours. Right. So everybody's got a camera.
Everyone already knows. It's the only flat black one in the area. They're everywhere, but not a flat black one. And all the accoutrements that are on it. It's quite easily identifiable with my son's, yes.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap things up. We've got enough to show to do, but guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Yes, I've got your comments on social media. I appreciate them. We will continue to work on audio connections and internet connections. We're getting there. We're moving along. We're investing. You can see the studio and all kinds of stuff, but until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course, who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.